sefer called Chofetz Chaim, Chayo v'Poyalov. Chofetz Chaim is life and achievements. Brings down there that there were three particular Talmidim in the Tkufa of Volozhin who were outstanding in various different milus. Each of the three Talmidim had specific milus, outstanding milus. One person in particular had great yichus. It was a great yichus, which basically he was in a long line chain of about seven generations of rabbonim, one after the other. Rabbonim who made great contributions on the scene. The second one was particularly outstanding in the area of midos. Tremendous bar midos. Milus, ben olam chaveroi, to the point that it was stated ad lahafli. Extremely outstanding, very unusual. Amazing bar midos, great bar midos. Third one was a moya charif, a very sharp person, sharp mind. In addition to his sharp mind, his amkus, his depth, his analysis, he also was a great masmid in learning. Turns out that after a while that all of these three outstanding Talmidim got caught up in the Ruach, in the air of Haskol, in the Enlightenment in Berlin. One thing led to another. It was quite a prevalent situation. They left the yeshiva, and not only they left the yeshiva, but they actually they began to slide downward to the point that they actually went out to the Tower of Musaro. Totally behaved completely against anything that's real Jewish and so on. Reb Chaim Volozhin, who is the Rebbe of these three Talmidim, had a lot of tzar, tremendous tzar. And matter of fact, he cried, he wept, and he did not allow himself to be consoled that three of his Talmidim were really outstanding Talmidim, and yet this is what happened to them. That they actually slipped away and turned against the life of Torah and Mitzvahs. After a while or so of tzar, he has a dream from his Rebbe, the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen was no longer alive at the time. And the Goyen comes to him in a dream, and he says to him the following: I want you to know that Haskola, the world of enlightenment, has the ability and it will destroy many, many Talmidei Yeshiva. And the Goyen continued to say, someone who possesses Chus Avos, Hishtam Ziyaziches, great ancestry, it will not help him, not protect him. Because Sof Kol Sof, he says, what is Yiches? Every Yid has Yiches. We're all B'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. Just go up a little higher. You cannot top the ultimate Yiches that each and every Yid has. Amela says the Goyen, it doesn't make a difference. He has closer yichus and so on yichus, this kind of yichus. Yichus will not protect him. And if it's destined to happen, it'll happen in spite of yichus. The Goyen went on to say, a person who has midos toivis, which is a tremendous mile, to be a gvaldig bal midos, but nevertheless, he says, midos toivis do not serve as a shield. As a shield, as he said, bifnei aperonius. When it comes to these types of situations, being a bal midos does not protect you against these kind of views, these kind of opinions, which are antithetical, of course, to a life of Torah. However, the Goyen said to him the following. He said, the only thing that can ultimately protect the Yid, he says, is Chus of Torah. If he possesses Godless in Torah, if he possesses Hasmode in Torah, because the Goyen tying it, even Midos Toivis, he says, is not something that's Miuchad Afketid. So the Goyen. You could have Midos Toivis also by non-Jews. And therefore, Midos Toivis, to serve as a shield, to protect someone, in his Yiddishkeit, Midos Toivis, on their own merits, are not something that is miyuchid necessary to follow a life of Torah mitzvahs. But Chusa Torah is something that's miyuchid that only Yidden have. Torah. And said the Goyen, that someone who was a tkuf in his life, so said the Goyen, who absorbed Torah, studying Torah, learning Torah, was matzliach in Torah, and he relearned Torah the way Torah is supposed to be learned. Anyone who ever in his life, said the Goyen, was Toyim the Mesikas HaTorah, he had this chus to be margish, to be Toyim, to experience the sweetness of Torah, Says the Goyin, I promise, he says, Muvdechani, that the Torah will stand by his side, that ultimately it will protect him. So said the Goyin. This is how we evaluate the situation with these three Talmidim. Many years passed, and Rabbi Chaim actually investigated. He wanted to find out how did it turn out, what was the fate of these three Talmidim. And it turns out that this particular person who was the great Yachsen, that is great Yichus, as time went along, he forgot his Yichus. He got Bechlal from where he stammed, and he became assimilated in general, and became part of the public at large, and that's the way he led his life. The second Talmud was outstanding in Midos Toivos. He basically turned to Chochma of philosophy, got involved with philosophy, became totally confused Bechlal of anything that has to do with the life of Torah, to the point that he converted. Mamishat and so on, and he began to preach drushes of heresy. And that's what happened to him. The third one, he says, who was the Masmid, his life led him to the point that he entered a university, and being that he had this tremendous mind, he was a Kharif, had this great Moyach, he in fact excelled very highly and greatly in the world in general studies, to the point that he became renowned in those areas, that intellectuals of all kinds came to see him and to learn with him and to study with him, until what happened, the tremendous chiddush at the time, that he became a headmaster of a state university, which at those times for a yid to be able to reach such a position was come up unheard of. But due to the fact that he had so much talent, so keen in his intellect, that he rose to that madrega, that he was appointed as to be the head of the state university. The university, being that, of course, they knew he was a yid, so they kept pressuring him that he must change his religion. Because how can we have a yid as being head of a university? So they kept insisting that he has to convert. When he heard that already, he started to wiggle out a little bit. Gave excuses, maybe next week, next month, and so on and so forth. Tried to buy time. He was only able to push it as much as he was able to, and the pressure mounted on and on, over and over. So he asked for 3 days. Interesting, like saw like the Maaseh on the Taikiv there. So he asked for 3 days to give him time. The Maaseh used that time to actually, he ran away. He gave up and he abandoned all of the covet and all the glory, everything that he had. I'm asked to go up to Eretz Yisrael. But before going up to Eretz Yisrael, he decides for one last time, he says, to visit Volozhin. And he visits Volozhin, and he wants to meet again his old Rebbe. He wants to be Mekabalpon and B'chaim Volozhin, and to receive a brocha. B'chaim was tremendously happy that he saw him, and Imam Shin embraced him. And the Talmud told him everything that went on with his life, how life led him, all of his experiences. And Rav Chaim said to him, because when he was in Volozhin already, he was already mamish on the way back. Rav Chaim said to him, what was it that really gave you that push to turn around and change your life to come back to your roots? What was it? What did it for you? And the Talmud said quite simply, as I was on the way back to Volozhin, becoming a Goy is one thing. I wasn't ready to do that, but I wasn't ready to become a Frum Yid either. But I decided to go visit Volozhin. On the way back, he says, coming to Volozhin, he says, I passed by, it was at night, the house of a Yid, the window was open, and I hear him sitting by a Gemara with a very sad Gemara Nigin. And he's learning Gemara, but it was a haunting Nigin. He was learning that blood Gemara with a Nigin. He says that I became frozen, he says, in my tracks. And in my mind, I imagined the sadness of the Nigin was the Torah crying to me for all the Torah that I learned in the past. How did you leave me? How did you abandon me? He says, how are you able to deny? How are you able to rebel? He says, it was that moment, he says, that was Ma'ir within me, a hero of tshuva, and this is what brought me back to this place. So ultimately, this was the Avtocha of the Goyin, that someone who has Torah behind him, that is the Koich of Torah, and that in fact, that is the greatest Zegul of Torah, to be able to protect the Yid, wherever he finds himself, no matter what the odds are. We go Rabbeisai, we continue here, in the Chaim Volozhin, which we are here in Perek Ches. It's in the general editions, it's on Daf Chof Tes, where the Ramaskal, the Yedua Shah HaKruvim. Basically, let us summarize where we're up to here. The Chaim Volozhin started out with a basic question, trying to explain. There's an opinion in Masechet Bava Basra that held that the Kruvim, who said were stationed, were positioned, Upneim El Abayis, they were not facing each other, but rather were facing the wall. They were facing the Beis Hamikdash wall. And the question was, the Gemara said, but there's another pasuk that says, Upneim Ishalochiv, that they were facing each other. And the Gemara answered that Atzdudim Itzdudim, which means that they were sort of like on an angle. And Rabbi Chaim Volozhin here is attempting to explain, which we didn't reach the answer yet. What is the idea of Mitchila positioning the Kruvim at the point of an angle? Because sof kol sof, we know that if they're facing each other, that is symbolic of when they do Ritzon HaShel Mokhet. When the Kruvim are facing each other, this is symbolic when Yidin are doing the Ritzon of Hashem. When they are not facing each other, then it means that they are not doing Ritzon HaShel Mokhet. If it's on an angle, obviously it's also in a position where they're sort of not doing Ritzon HaShel Mokhet. Why would Kitchila, should the Kruvim be positioned in a way where it implies that they are not? If ultimately Avadiv, that is what happens, so Mamela, the Kruvim change positions. But Lamaisa, why Lekitchila should we construct Kruvim in an angle? Instead of giving it what we hope for, the idea that is the purpose and the Tachlis, that they should of course and hopefully be doing Ritzon HaShel Mokhet, they should be facing each other. What was the idea according to this opinion, where the Gemara says that the Kruvim were put at an angle? And Rav Chaim Volozhin, let's remember, brought down the Machloikis and Masechtes Brachos between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai regarding how is the Anhoge Veyit, when the Torah says on the one hand it says Vogisa Boyoyim Avalaylo, that a Yid is supposed to study Torah day and night, and yet there's another pasuk Vasafta Doganecho, that a person is supposed to be involved with gathering his grain. Obviously when you're gathering your grain, you're not learning. And in fact Rabbi Shmuel tells us that we need a combination. We need a combination of Torah, the combination of working and making a parnosa, hanheg bohen midik deracheretz. The term is hanheg bohen midik deracheretz, which means you learn when you have time available, when you're not oisik in parnosa. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that you have Torah and you have parnosa. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, on the other hand, he has the ultimate highest of madrigas. He says, how is it possible that the mecheresh b'shas charisha, if a person will be plowing in the plowing season, or the mizareya b'shas riyah, or the mkaitzer b'shas ketzira, Torah matah heola, when's he going to have time to learn? He'll never have time to learn. Why do they have always reason to do a little more farming? And therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, no. Bizman Shisol Oysa Masoni Shalmokoyim, he says, when you didn't follow and do the Ratzon of Hashem, they don't even have to work because malachta nasas alidei acheru. But Bizman She'en Yisrael Oysa Masoni Shalmokoyim, then Vosafta the Genachot. But Kaponim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, let's remember, Rabbi Shmuel says that Vosafta the Genachot means that it's a combination. It's a combination Hanik Bohemini Derecheres. And Chaim went on to say that even when a Yid is Oisik in Parnosa, the Loshon of the Gemara is Haneg Bohen. Actual Loshon is Haneg Imohen Minig Dercheres, which is even when you're Oisik in Parnosa, your mind should always be involved with thoughts of Torah. As long as a person is capable, if a person has the ability, no matter what a Yid does, his mind should never be cut off from thinking thoughts of Torah. The same mind that you're using to think about other things, one should apply thoughts of Torah no matter what he does. Haneg imohen with the Torah derecheretz. There's no moment, according to Bishmoel, that a person is really entitled to leave Torah. But even at the time, therefore, when you're doing parnosa, haneg behemini derecheretz, a person should be involved and combining Torah with derecheretz. That is how the opinion of Bishmoel. But then Reb Chaim goes on to tell us, the Gemara tells us that Harbe Yosu Rabbi Shmuel but also be Yodom. Many people attempted Rabbi Shmuel's way, they were Matzliach. Harbe Yosu Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Veloy also be Yodom. Some wanted to take the Madrega upon themselves of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, not doing any shtablus at all, but totally dedicating themselves only to learning. Veloy also be Yodom, not Matzliach. So Reb Chaim, if you remember, told us Harbe Yosu. In other words, for the rabbim, for the masses, of course, the way of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, it just doesn't work for them. They are not in that madrega. They have to do all the shtadlus necessary. But for the yochid, there are yechidim. There are individuals. There are always going to be individuals who rise above and beyond, and they are on such a high level in their midah, bitochen, and so on. They are really oisim mitzoyni shalmokim at the highest level. There are yechidim that are going to be successful. Rabbi Shimon Yochai was successful, which means it's shaykh for yechidim. to be able to reach that madrega. And therefore, the Losha Gemara that rejects Rav Shimon ben Yochai's derech is only b'tayrus harbe. It's not for the masses. It's not for the rabbin. However, for the yochid, it is. In the Hagdome of the Shalos Hetshuvos, Chassan Sofer, we just point out that the Chassan Sofer was a grandson of the Chassam. Why is it Chassan? Chassan means a son-in-law. Because the Chassan Sofer's father was a son-in-law of the Chassam Sofer. In other words, the Chassan Sofer's mother was a daughter. The Chassan Sofer's mother was a daughter of the Chassam. So the Hagdom of the Tshuva is Chassan Sofer. It brings down B'shem his father. His father's name was Reb David Tzvi. Reb David Tzvi was the son-in-law of the Chassam Sofer. But he said, if it's a Gevalde Gechab, the Gemara's lashon is, if you remember, Odem Chayrish Bishas Charisha. If a person plows in the plowing season, Zareya Bishas Zareya, and he sows during the sowing season, V'koyse Bishas Ketzira, Teira Mata Heola, what's going to happen with Teira? So it was Madaik, he said, what is this Kefal Aloshin? Odem Chayrish Bishas Charisha. You plow. Of course, you plow in the plowing season. You don't plow. Someone who's a farmer knows his work. He's not going to plow. If he's supposed to plow in the spring, he's not going to plow in the winter. So what is the Gemara saying? Odom Chayrish Bishas Charisha. Or Odom Zoireya Bishas Riyah. Why add the word Bishas Riyah? And the Chassan Sofer's father said, Adova Niflo. He said, the Pshat is like this. The Shail is, why are you plowing? What's the purpose of your Panosa? A Yid who's Oisik in Panosa, in order to be able to build his bias, to be able to be Mechanach his children, to pay tuition, to give tzedakah, to buy tefillin, to buy tzitzis, to build a sukkah, to be machzik Torah, then his work is also Torah. Then his malach is also Torah. That's all for the sake of Torah. The problem is Adam Chayrish Bishaz Charisha. He's plowing for plowing's sake. Adam Zareya Bishaz Riyah. He wants to amass a fortune. That's all he's interested in. Oh, then Torah might the Heoleo. It's Madai Galushna Gemara. A Yid has the ability to be Mekadosh his Meisim. It's not always what you do, it's what the purpose is. What is the tachlis of what you are doing? What is the indictment that the Gemara makes the emphasis? Torah Mata Heoleh, if you're going to be busy plowing and sowing and reaping and harvesting. So the Gemara adds that extra lotion. Odem Chayri Bishas Charisha. If your Kavon is L'Shem Avoida, your Charisha is L'Shem Avoida, your Ketzir is L'Shem Avoida, your Zeriah is L'Shem Avoida, then we have a tiny to Torah Mata Heoleh. But if a Yid, of course, he makes a panos, works for a panos, but his tachlis is to be a Yid, to be able to live like a Yid, to be able to marry off his children, to be able to build Klal Yisrael. In every way, that everything that he does, every chelik of his avodah has a Shem Torah on it. The problem is only if it's Adam Chayrish Bishas Charisha, or as we said, when a person is a Reya Bishas Reya, he's doing avodah, Davke L'Shem Avodah. Now I want to point out here something. That regarding here what the Gemara talks about, just a very fascinating thing. It's amazing words. It's kedai to hear these words. And just let me give you a little hakdama. How we find here a some sofer in Masechet Sukkah Daf Lamed Vav, how homiletically al pidrush al piderech hashkofe, and he explains the Gemara, and we'll see exactly mamish what we're talking about, what Reb Chaim Volozhiner here is talking about. You know, Rabbeisai, regarding an esrik, there's many halachas in an esrik. There's many halachas what we are looking for in an esrik. And as many halachas with pasels in esrik. So the Gemara says, interesting, in Sukkah Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara says, Omar Mar, it says, esrik kushi is posel. There is a land called Eretz Kush. We say Mahoidu Bat Kush in the Megillah. There's a land called Eretz Kush. And the Gemara says that an esrik that comes from the land of Kush is posel. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? After all, Vatanya, kushi kosher. Doime le kushi posel. You hear the Gemara? In other words, an esrog that actually comes from Eretz Kush, an esrog that comes from Eretz Kush means the esrog is black. So the Gemara Stakasha, it says esrog kushi, if it comes from Eretz Kush, it's kosher. Doimelakushi means is it's black, but it's not from Eretz Kush. It looks like an esrog from Eretz Kush because of its color. So the Gemara says, Abai says, you're right. Kitanan misnisen doimelakushi tanan. In other words, Abai says, black is not a problem. If it's a natural color, it's okay. In other words, an esrik, If an Esrei grows black in the land of Eretz Kush, that's fine. Because that's not considered Mishunah. Because in those Mekaymas, that's the Derech. But an Esrei that's not an Esrei Kushi, is Doimel Kushi. It's an Esrei from Eretz Yisrael. Anywhere. But it's black. It's Doimel Kushi. That is what's possible. So first Chassam Sofer says, he says, I heard from my Rebbe the Hafloah. And Esrei, of course, is the Priyei Todah. What does the Medrash tell us? The Dalet Minim represent different levels, Madregas and Klal Yisrael. Esrei is talking about the Tzaddik. He's talking about the Isha Sholem. The one that's perfect. The one that does everything he's supposed to do. Hen b'toyre, hen in maisim toivim. Kushi means he's Mishunah. Mishunah means to say lab davke in the negative. Mishunah can mean also he's unusual, l'toivah. Kushi is a lotion, it's Mishunah. It's not usual. It's not the normal way. You can have a tzaddik who is way above and beyond the average person in his anhoge. And sometimes it's okay and sometimes not okay. Esrei Kushi, if he's actually a tzaddik, mamish, he's in that madrega, he's kosher. Doimel Kushi means he acts like a tzaddik. He tries to do things of madregas of tzaddikim, but he doesn't belong there. In other words, Harba also Reb Shimon ben Yochai, will he also be Adam? You want to be like Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai, he says, there's no such thing as Sato de Genecho. If you're a Noisim and Son of Shalmakam, no Ishtabas whatsoever. Who are you? Are you Reb Shimon Yochai? Will he also be Adam? But you want to try to be. You want to be. But you don't really have it in. You're not really there. You're fooling yourself. That's what it means. Daimel Kushi is possible. It's an imitation. Someone who is feigning tzitzkis. Someone who is feigning tzitzkis. Acting out ke'ilu he's a tzaddik. That's what's possible. Either he is, that's where he's at, then it's kosher. But if it's daimel Kushi, daimel demiyoynis are possible. Whether in the area with black, negative colors, even the area of good. There's no such thing as the demyoinis. You are or you're not. You have to try to be. And hopefully you can reach that. This is within your means. This is where you're at. Every person has to recognize his strength and his weaknesses. Doimel Lekushi is possible. If a person lives a life of demyoinis, imitation, it's not true. They say in Isa. See, Isa, a particular Batchim. He says that he had the ability to imitate all kinds of people. And he say that it was on a particular Purim or so on. The job was to be Mesameach, and it was by the Tish of the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal. And he had the ability actually to imitate the Rebbe Azoy Mamish Pinklach. And he went ahead and he started doing, imitating the voice and imitating the Nusach, imitating the song, imitating the Krechts, imitating the way that he spoke. And he's continuing to do this for about 10, 15 minutes or so, and they said that the Rebbe breaks out in tears. And the Batchen became terrified. Because the Rebbe was so offended by what he was doing. And he asked the Rebbe Mechila, he says, if I would have known that the Rebbe really had so much star from what I'm doing, but never did. My kavanah was not to be mavad, it's pur in the spirit of pur. This is what I was doing. I want to be mesameach the Rebbe. But he says, no. He says, you did not embarrass me, you were not mavazing me at all. But I was thinking to myself, if you are able to do such a good imitation of myself, maybe I myself are also only imitating. How do I know that I'm not imitating? How do I know that I'm doing the real thing? How do I know that I am, the M is where I'm really at? Or maybe I'm just going through the mode, doing certain meisim of madregas, but that's not really me. I'm just, this is anivis, of course, great people always feeling that they're not really at that madrega, they've not reached that madrega. So maybe I'm really imitating myself. Esrei, that's doimel Kushi. Esrei is the tzaddik, the priyei todah, but it's only doimel Kushi. He's doimel. His Maisa Marmishuna Lutoiva we're talking about in the case of the Esrei. This is what the Hafloah is pointing out. The Chassam Sofer brings it down from his Rebbe. Let me quote you. So he says, the Chassam Sofer, after he quotes his Rebbe, he says as follows. He says, Atkan Divrei Harav, V'Divrei Pi Chochom Chen. Up to here is the words of my Rebbe. But then he says further, he says, Mikan Ve'elach Toisefes Divrei Talmidoi. But for now, he says, the next few lines is the addition of his Talmud, which is myself. By the way, he says, Talmidoi hapoet kamoini. He says, the Talmud who is so poshut, who is so simple, he's talking about himself, Banivis. I am the lowly, simple Talmud, he says, of my Rebbe, the Haflor. Nelly Zdati. And he says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel, look what some Zephyr says. Rabbi Shmuel came out to tell us, Vasato de Genecho. That's what the Torah means. The Torah means Haneg, Imoyen, Diver, Deracheris. There's a combination between Torah and Vasato de Genecho. Some sages suggest, at least in this piece, and he says as follows: Rabbi Yishmael nama lo yomar mikrov asapta doganecho elo beretz Yisrael. That's the masim. Where's masapta doganecho? Where's that land work taking place? Where's this farming taking place? It's taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Masapta doganecho. It's talking about Yidden, of course. Bizman when Yidden are shiruyim ala demoso. We're talking about, he says, that the Chassam Sofer, there it's Israel, the Rav Yisrael Shiruyim, and Yidden are there on the land in Eretz Israel. Now listen to the Loshen Chassam Sofer, it's an incredible Loshen. Look what he says. When a Yid lives in Eretz Israel, says the Chassam Sofer, Shravoide Bekar Kegufa Mitzvah. In other words, at the same time that you're working for Parnosa, but tilling the land of Eretz Israel is a mitzvah in its own right. Regardless of Parnose, you could be a nice, you could have a, you could be a billionaire, but working the land of Eretz Yisrael, he says, is a mitzvah. And he says the following lotion: Shavayde bekar keguva mitzvah mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael ulahoytzi peyreseh agdoshim valzet sivsa toyer vasata degenecho. That is the idea mishum mitzvah. So says the Chassam Sofer. Now listen to the words of Chassam Sofer. So what's a person going to say? I will not work the land in Eretz Yisrael. It's incredible that it comes from Chassam Sofer. So what's the person going to say? I will not work the land in Eretz Yisrael. I want to learn instead. I want to learn instead. Now, it doesn't mean, by the way, 24 hours a day work the land. But what's the person says? I don't want to do any avoid this karka because I want to learn. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever hear a Yid say, will ever a Yid say, that I will not put on tefillin because I want to learn? It's not such a thing. The same Torah that told you to learn, Torah taught to put on film. Some Sofer says, avoid this kark in Eretz Yisrael is like putting on film. In the same way that a Yid cannot say, I will not put on film. I'd rather learn that half an hour, or that an extra half hour. Some Sofer says, avoid this kark in Eretz Yisrael is gufa mitzvah. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'm telling you his lotion here. He says, Valzet sivsa Torah v'sata d'genecho. Mishu mitzvah, iku ilu toimar. Would you imagine someone saying loy aniach tefillin mipnei shani yosek b'toyre? Hochename loy yoyma loy esav degoni mipnei esek atoyre. It's amazing things, he says. Aval kishonam mifuzorim b'vonisena horabim b'enumis hoylam v'chol shumar b'hoylam yishuv. He says, the more yishuv there is in the outside world, the more chilul Hashem is created in the world, he says. Is churban maybe Moide Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the less you do, the better. He says, and therefore maybe we should rely on Rabbi Nehoi Rai, who says in Kiddushin, Maniach Ani Kol Umni Shibiyolam Veni Malamez Bnei Alotayr. Fascinating words of some Sofer. I could put on Avodis Karak in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the way he actually defines the Chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel. So we should do Rabbi Sai. Let's move now further on into the Rabbi Chaim Elohim here on the Yedua. B'mamshich, Chaim Volozhin goes on to say that the Yidua Shakruvin. Because let's remember now, we have these two opinions. We have the two opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and we have Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says Vasapta Doganecho. The person should combine Parnosa with Torah study. But let's remember again, Rabbi Chaim said even when a person is Isaac and Parnosa, Hanegimoyim, his mind should still be connected to Torah. That's what Rabbi Chaim learns pshat, Hanegimoyim. But upon him, that's for the Rabbim. Let's remember again, that's for the Rabbim. By the way, for the Rabbim, this is called Oysim Ritzayne Shalmokoy. For the Rabbim, this is called Oysim Ritzayne Shalmokoy. Because for the Rabbim, this is the Madrege, this is what they have the koyach and the ability to do, and that's what they should be doing. But it's Yitochen, for example, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, or a Yochid, who was on that kind of a level, for him to be Noyig this way, this would be Ein Oysim Ritzayne Shalmokoy. Because of course, utopia, the highest madrega, the madrega of all madregas would be the madrega of Shimon ben Yochai, to be able to live a life where a Yid, Bechlal, is on such a level that it's not necessary. Therefore, comes now Reb Chaim. Now look at Reb Chaim says, V'yidua. We know very clearly, Sheha Kruvim, regarding the two Kruvim. What do the two Kruvim represent? Ho'echod Romaz Olav Yizborach Shemoy. One of the Kruvim represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vasheni, the second one is Al Yisrael Sugolosoy. The second one symbolizes Klal Yisrael, who is the treasure of Hashem. So when we have two Kruvim, you have to realize one of them represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we are able to say that, right? And the second Kruv represents Klal Yisrael. Now, ukithi shir hiskaravusam udveikosam shel Yisrael elav yisbarach shemai. According to the measure, according to the direction, right? According to the measure of dveikus, connection, the close shel hat hakadosh baruch hu oyle hepechaz v'sholam, hoyenikar hakel, everything was evident by looking at the kruvim. Looking at the kruvim, the direction of the two kruvim, but was able, this reflected how close they were to hakadosh baruch hu, how far they were. Hoyenikar hakel beinyan amidas hakruvim derech nes vafelet. There's a tremendous nes. I mean, these were inanimate objects, and yet in the Hanhoge and the Madrega of Klal Yisrael outside of the Mikdash, you were able to, you wanted to know the Madrega. What was the gauge? What was the measure that told you the Madrega of closeness or distance between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu by looking at the Kruvim, how the Kruvim were facing? And he says, in Pneiim Yosher, because again, one of the Kruvim represents the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the other one represents Klal Yisrael. So the relationship of the two kruvim is a reflection of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im Pneiim Yosher Yechzu Elav Yisbarach Shemai. If the two kruvim, right, faced straight, so in other words, Im Pneiim means not the kruvim, Im Pneiim means the Yidin. Im Pneiim, if the Yidin outside, if their faces were directed, in their Hanhoge, in the way that they behaved, in their Avodas Hashem, if the faces of Yidin was directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that was the direction, then gamma kruvim on the was pnei mishalochiv. Oyim hofchu pnei mat, or maybe sometimes it would be slightly oblique. It would be slightly oblique because sometimes Yidden are not fully oisim mitzvayni shalmokim, but they're not also on the other side either. They're not completely ein oisim. They're sort of like in the middle. When the Yidden are sort of like in the middle between oisim mitzvayni shalmokim and ein oisim, so the kruvim would be on an angle. So the position of the kruvim on an angle means that Yidden are somewhat doing Ritzayin Shalmakayim and somewhat not doing Ritzayin Shalmakayim. That's what it means when the two kruvim were at an angle. Yidden keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it meant. Oyim hofchu panei ma'at umetzadadei atzdudeh. He says, for example, if the Yidden, if their hanhoga to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not completely directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, slightly off, if that was the attitude between Yidden and Hashem, slightly off, that was right away, immediately, it showed up on the Kruvim. Kein ho yinikar inyan, take it, he says, immediately. As soon as it happened, Kein Kruvim. In other words, if one would like someone watches, you know, you see the stocks going up and down. Someone look at the Kruvim, you keep it, see, you're like moving all sides. It would tell you exactly the level. Yidden are closer to Hashem, further from Hashem, much more closer. Exactly the distance, closer, further. Everything would be shown on the Kruvim, in the direction of how the Kruvim moved. This would be Alpines, and would happen. And if Chaz Bisholem of Yidden totally turned away from Hashem, Oirif means he showed him the back of the neck, means completely turning around. If Yidden's Hanhoge was completely opposite, Gama Kruvim Kerega, he says, Hifnu Hofchu Peneim Ish Malochiv Legamre Chaz Bisholem. They completely turn off, they would turn away. So when Yidden were totally devoted to Hashem, then the Kruvim were facing each other. And if Yidden Taki became somewhat lax, then in fact, then the Kruvim turned away slightly from each other. And if Klal Yisrael veered away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Kruvim abruptly, he says, take it. The Kruvim abruptly turned away from each other completely. And he points out, the Gemara in Yumet, Ki Yishomru Zal B'Yumet Daf Nun Dalet, the Gemara says Yumet Daf Nun Dalet, Shehoyim Megalglin HaProiches L'Oil Regolim, that when Yidden would come up to Yerushalayim in the Yomim Tovim, they would open up the curtain. They would open up the curtain which is in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in order that Yidden should see, Umarin Lohem HaKruvim Shoyim Urim Zebozeh. And it would show the Yidden how the Kruvim were embracing each other. And the Yidden would be told, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. In other words, here we see clearly that the depiction, the Kruvim basically represented Klal Yisrael at large. This was the Hanhoge. This was what the Kruvim represented. One Kruv represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as we see that the other one represented, and the other one, in fact, represented Klal Yisrael, and the Hanhoge of each other was reflected one from the other. So now, and he goes on again. and brings down the Zohar, which we'll do just a chelik of it. Let's just take a look here very quickly. We have the Lashon Kodesh also, which is, if you see right underneath, which is in the brackets. So the Zohar Truma Kuf Nandal Ramat Beis, you can do the Lashon Kodesh straight. The Zohar says, he says, when is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anhogi with Yidin Barachmim? The question was asked. The Zohar says, Omar Loi, so he was told, Bishosha Kruvim Machzirim, when you see that the Kruvim are facing each other, that is symbolic of Yidin. That is symbolic of Yidin going B'derach Hashem. That is symbolic of Yidin that they are doing Hashem's will. Umistaklim ponim b'ponim. Kim shehem akruvim mistaklim ponim b'ponim, os kol hagavnim mistaklim. Hagavnim is all of the colors. All the colors means this is the lashon the Zohar Kodesh uses. The colors are referring to the different hanogis of Hashem. Midas harachmim, midas hadin, midas hachesed. All the different midas of Hakadosh Baruch Hu are referred to as different colors. But when you see the kruvim facing each other, then you know that all of the colors mean everything. All the hanogis of Hashem are rectified, are in proper order. He says, "Kemoishim misadrim Yisrael tikuneim laKodesh Baruch Hu," because the way they didn't are misakin themselves towards Hashem. Kach oimid hakoil v'kach misadr. So is in Shemayim. So it goes to Hobo Hotalia. The inhoge of the Eden towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so of course is, and this is symbolic, to know what's doing in Shemayim. If you want to know what's doing in Shemayim, look at the Kruvim. Because the Kruvim is telling you exactly, the relationship between Eden and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how it's taking place at this particular time. So we go further here, let's go to Abayisai, let's go to Ubezoyer Chodosh, let's go to this paragraph. Ubezoyer Chodosh, which this really completes. Is this really completes the Perikhes? Says further, Ubezor HaKodosh, and the fact that the Zohar HaKodosh tells us in Parashas Truma that Bechol Zimna the Yisrael Havu Zakoyin. This again reiterates that every time we Yidden were doing the right thing when they were Zakai, Kruvim Havu Devekim Bidviku, then the Kruvim were embracing each other face to face, Apin Ba'apin. But Kivin Davu Sorchon, the ones that Yidden in fact sinned, have a mahadrin apayu domindo, then the Kruvim would turn away one from the other, and so on. And he goes on further to say, Valderech Kruvim bo, he says, Ahu Zimne, he says, the way you find the Have Yisrael Zakoyin, Have Ampin Bampin, he says, Val Rosen Elum, he says, and based upon these secrets, he says, these secrets meaning is the hidden factors become revealed. Have Yodi Yisrael Zakoyin Eloi. Ksiv then the Zohar says, Ivdus Hashem Besimcha, Ched Vesoi says, the train Kruvim. It means that when Yidin serve Hashem Besimcha, in a certain sense, the two Kruvim are Besimcha, and when the two Kruvim are Besimcha, it's Mashfiya back Simcha down to this world. It says the Zohar HaKodesh, Kim Dishori Alayu, when there is Simcha on top of the Kruvim, is Hader Bechedva, he says, then all of this Simcha, all Simcha comes back, the Almes Hader Berachmi, and the world goes back to the Matzav, of Rachmi. So again, so what do we have so far? So far what we have is that the idea of sometimes that the Kruvim are at an angle, now that depicts when Yidin are like in the middle. They have not completely veered off, and at the same time they are not fully doing the Rosan of Hashem either. Okay, now how does that answer the question? So why was it when the Kruvim were positioned in the beginning, right from the start, according to that Manor Bovabasra, they were right away from the beginning part at an angle. Why would you construct Kruvim at an angle if this is symbolic of being sort of like in the middle, not fully doing Ratzon Hashem, and yet not completely veering away either? What's the answer? That comes, Rabbi Yisrael, and we'll start the next parik. Let me just tell you something just interesting. And that is regarding what Rabbi Chaim Volozhin told us, that according to the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, that Hanig Behem, that we said that Hanig Behem Minig Der Cheretz, is an interesting Loshin the Chayodom. You know, the Chayodom, which is, of course, a Velz Poisik, which of course the Mishnah Brewer brings them constantly, Piske Dinim of the Chayodom. Chayodom, of course, was from Vilna. Not too many people know that the Chayodom was a businessman. Chayodom was a businessman, was not a person, a full-time learner. Chayodom was a businessman, but every available moment, every possible moment that he had, he sat and he learned. And to the Madrege, that of course he achieved, his godless in the area of Aloha, that that his halachas are remaining, of course, to this day. which the Chayyotim is being quoted by all the Poskim. So it's kedai maybe to tell you a little bit just of the Loshon. Of the Loshon of the Chayyotim. The Chayyotim says as follows. Find the Loshon. Here's the Loshon. Chayyotim says, you look it up in your Hagdom of your Chayyotim. And he says as follows. He says, Omar Avrom. His name was Avrom. Omar Avrom al Atzmi. Hagam shenosati lemerchoki. Even though I traveled, his business dealings just caused him that he had to travel far away. And he spent many, many days, weeks away from home. He was on the road. Said the Chayyotim, I want you to know that even though shenosati lemerchoki v'hayisi soicher, I was a businessman. At chokhmosi omdali. But nevertheless, my chokhma still was next to me. First of all, even when I had to leave my learning, because I was on the road, dati oleo. My mind was always on my learning. Ubi yeshivosi bechanus. And when I sat in the store, dati oleo. It's an amazing thing, exactly what Reb Chaim Volozhin said, according to the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Reb Shmuel says the Sata Doganecho is a combination of doing your panosa together with Torah, but Hanegimoyim. Reb Chaim taught us that with Hanegimoyim, that even while you're doing your business, keep your mind connected to Torah. The Chayodom tells us independently, Bechal. Chayodom tells them that was his Hanogi. The Chayodom tells us that even when I was sitting in my store, Dati Oleo, Vitesali means I should have this chus. Vetesali, I should have this chus, he says, Yishamayim. For what? Sha'afilu bishor masa umaton. When I was actually doing business, I was dealing with customers maybe. Afilu bishor or bishas masa matim, pomim harbe, ho yedati oleo behiru pirish oikushe. My mind was a pshat, in a pshat or a kashe. Ubefrati says, bishisho, he says, He says, Shisha mitzvah saseh. Because you know the Mishabur also brings it down. He said, the six mitzvah saseh that a person is supposed to have in mind every day. These are the zechiris that a person is supposed to remember, zohar, and so on and so forth. We find at the end of the davening in the Siddur, the things. So the Chayyotim says, these six chiris, forget this, I always had in mind. He said, but in addition to that, he says, even when I was doing business, first of all, he says, when I was not able to learn, it was dat yoleo. He said, my mind was on it. My mind was upon on it to be able to go back to my learning. But he says, but even when he was doing business, he says, many, many times, he says, his mind was on a kashe, his mind was on a pshat, and so on and so forth. So here again, it's very interesting. There's a sefer called Uvdiz Van Hodis Labez Brisk. I've seen it many, many times before that sefer was printed. But anyways, that Rav Elul Brisk used to say many times that at first he didn't understand. He says, many times, he says, the Brisk Rav says, Be'emtsa, he says, in his peak of learning, his mamish, right, shkua belimudoi, he was in his learning, totally immersed in learning. Rav Chaim sometimes would come into the room and say, Velvel, I have an errand for you. And he would send them to the store. He would send them to buy stamps to the post office, or he'd give them letters to mail. And he said, for a while, he said, I didn't understand. He says, Kibbutz Av, don't ask questions. He says, my father told me, Chaim sees me learning, he's sending me away. He says, I can't argue with Chaim. He says, so I did, of course, whatever my father said, no question about it. But ultimately, once I asked him, he says, Tate, he says, maybe I could mail the stamps when I take a break. I mean, maybe when I break for lunch. So I'll go, so I'll buy stamps, I'll mail your letters. Why are you asking me to do it dafk in the middle of learning? And the Briskov said, you know what my father told me? I want to train you to have your mind on Torah even when you're doing other things. My tachlis was not to mail stamps. My tachlis was that even when you're doing something like mailing stamps, you still be able to have your mind on Torah. That needs to be trained. That's an exercise. Let's go off. It's printed later again in the sefer called Uvdiz Van Hogis Labez Brisk. Again, this is not for everybody. Halavai, we should have our mind on learning when we're learning. You're being told to have our mind on learning doing something else. Baruch HaPalim. This is available. Of course, this is how Gedolei Torah grew up. So, Rabbi, so now we move further. Let's take a look now. A peritess. To answer the kash again. Because the kash is off the song. With all of these hagdomas, we're trying to get here to the answer to the question, why did they construct the Kruvim on an angle, which represents Nishtahe Nishtahin? Not doing fully Ritzoy Nishlomokim, and yet at the same time, also not doing the opposite. So he goes on further. And he says, Vihine Dor Hamidbar. So the Chaim Volozhin says in wonderful words. That I want you to know, he says, that the Dor Hamidbar, Shezochu Liyos Ma'oichle Hamon. We know that the Dor Hamidbar were those that were Zoiche. The Dor Hamidbar were those that were Zoiche to eat. They were nourished by the Mon, which of course was Lechem and Hashemayim, Dayoim B'yoimoi. And as the Bnei Soscha says, the Chassidish Yisroel point out, he says, when Mon fell in the Shemayim, it's Lechem and Hashemayim, so the Bracha was not Hamoitze Lechem and Oretz, it was Hamoitze Lechem and Hashemayim. Lechem is coming out in Hashemayim. They say, Mlosom Loi Bolsom Aleim. They lived a life L'malam Mederach HaTeva. Bread came in Hashemayim. As far as clothing were concerned, the clothing they wore, it never became tattered. Never became worn out. All this was nisim. As a result, what does that mean? The observation Reb Chaim is making is, V'loihoye tzrichim l'shum ezik parnosa b'yodam klal. Therefore it means, with Shat, when Yidu in the Midbar, they did not need an ezik parnosa. All the parnosa came in Hashemayim. All the parnosa, everything that they needed. Let the Rei HaKoel says now, Reb Chaim, oh, now, in such a tkufa, in such an era, in an era where you have Mon falling in the Shemayim, there is no machloikis between Reb Shmuel and Reb Shimon ben Yochai. In other words, when does Reb Shmuel say, Vasafta do Ganecho? You have to combine Parnosa with Torah study, when you have to live by Parnosa, when you have to live through the handiwork, through the Maisa Yodecho, through the Maisa Yodayim. But you have to do your shtadlus. But when you're living in the Tkufa, when you're living in the Dor HaMidbar, where everything was given to you, everything was handed to you on a silver platter, if someone should decide, I want to dafkip, I want to be a tailor now, I want to manufacture shoes and lace, what's your excuse now? You don't have the excuse. Because now you have the opportunity, you have the ability to totally be committed to learning. Now there's no machlekes anymore. There's no heter of Rabbi Shmuel, of Hanei Gimon. He says, "Midik derech eretz." So they were hakol and mikre oisim mitzonish shomakim. Now, if you go oisim and panosim, in other words, a yid in the Dor HaMidbar, says the Nefesh HaChaim, a yid in the Dor HaMidbar, if he did peulis and meisim regarding panosim activities and so on, he's clearly ain oisim mitzonish shomakim. In other words, if you ask me a question, oisim and panosim, where do you classify? Where does it belong? Does it belong to the category of Oysa Mitzayin Shomokim? Or is this called Ein Oysa Mitzayin Shomokim? Says the Nefesh HaChaim, it depends. Bizman Hazeh, when we have to work for a Panosa, that is together Oysa Mitzayin Shomokim. By the way, for the Rabbit, not for the Yochid, remember? The Yochid, they are those very, very unique, special, rare individuals. For them, it's not called Oysim and Sonishomakim. But for the Rabbim, it is. For the Rabbim, of course, it is called Oysim and Sonishomakim. But not in the Dor HaMidbar. In the Dor HaMidbar, clearly, this is a begeder, ain Oysim and Sonishomakim. Happy, devoted, completely. Right? The Yashir Gomor, straight towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Spiritual pursuits, that's it. That's what you have to be devoted to in the Dor HaMidbar. Umishabdim eslibom rak l'toyer avoido. V'yiroso yizborach shumai. Toyer avoido yir shumai. Yomim v'laylo yidol yomish v'piyem. Day and night. Dvorim kiksova mamish, as it says, v'gisa ba yomim v'laylo. Mamish as it stated. Belin toys. El Hatzad Klau, not to veer away to the other side. Look what he says. Afshor Kala, La Esik Panosa. You know why? Because it's not warranted. It's not needed. It's La Hevel. Because Baruch Hu is giving you Lechem and Hashemayim. Your clothing are never worn out. There's nothing Gashmizdik that's not being handed to you, it's not being given to you. So there's no excuse from veering away, he says. From Esek HaToyre. Ukamamor Amzal, as it says, Chazal say in the Mechilte, Lo Nitno Toyre El Eloich Lemon. What does it mean that the Torah was given only to the Oichle Hamon? It means that the generation of Oichle Hamon had the opportunity to fully, completely be mashkia themselves, immerse themselves totally in Torah. Lochein, therefore, now listen to what he says. Lochein, therefore, hemidu oz es akruvim, therefore olim oz. At the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tainiz of Chaim Loshen, then clearly, the Kruvim were positioned face connected face, he says. Then if they were positioned, that's why the Kruvim at the time of the Mishkan were positioned facing, indicating that Klal Yisrael were doing Hashem's will, as he says, Imam Kedoshoy. In other words, what Reb Chaim is saying, think about it a little deeper. It's an interesting thing, is it not? We don't have mon today. What was the reason that they had mon and we don't? What's the reason? You know why? Because when Torah is given, it has to be given on the highest level. What does it mean Torah is given on the highest level? It means as follows. When Torah is given on the highest level, it means Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you the Torah in a way that you could have a shleimus in dveikus hamachshava. Torah on the highest levels means to give it your total, complete concentration with complete menuchas hanefesh. Oh. In other words, to be able to be completely, fully immersed in Torah, you cannot have daigas parnosa. Because if you have daigas parnosa, that is a barrier between your menuchas hanefesh and to have complete dveikus machshava. The first cycle when Torah was given had to be in the highest level. When Torah was given, that's kufa. The first cycle after Kabbalah HaTorah was given with mon, to give Yidin the ability to have shleimus and dveikus machshava. In order to achieve shleimus and dveikus machshava, to have your complete mind connected, you cannot have daigas parnosa. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us mon. Because that is the ultimate. Hopefully, you have no dainis panosa, then you can achieve shleimus in the vekas amachshove. But now he says, "Omna bimei shleima." But now, the time of shleima melech, when you have the Beis Hamikdash. Now, by the way, you have to realize something: the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you're also waiting for Mashiach. Because when the Beis, even though when we had a Beis Hamikdash, it was not the Olam HaTikun yet. It was still a world of Yetzer Haras. There's still a world of Avodah Zarah out there. And Amela, what does it mean? It means that the challenges of life existed when you had a Beis Hamikdash as well. People think that somehow when you had a Beis Hamikdash, then we don't hope for Mashiach. No, Achakaloi b'chol yom sheyovoi was something that even b'zman she Beis Hamikdash oyekayim. Even when we had a Beis Hamikdash, we still were hoping for Mashiach to come, because when Mashiach comes, that's a totally different era. Then Olam Hazeh turns into a sort of like a world of Olam Habol, Ahavir Gilulim and Oretz, all the tumors was removed from the world. And the whole world comes to the Madrega of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Echad, Shmoy Echad, and so on. In the time of Shlomo, it was not a perfect world anymore. It was not a perfect world. Omnam bimei Shlomo shoye klal hamoin. Tzrichin umukrochim lintois maat. Klal hamoin means the general public. Not Yechid, but the general public at least. At the time of Shlomo, at least it comes out that the general public were mukrochim lintois maat, he says, the latzad le'ezek hafanoseh. They had to be involved. They had to be involved in Ezek HaParnosa al koponim kedei chaya nefesh. At least that much, to the extent. The extent of chaya nefesh, they had to be involved. Sheze ikar amitis v'tzoyna yizbarach shemoy ladas Rabbi Shmuel. Because after all, that is the ikar rotan of Hashem according to Rabbi Shmuel, that a person should be Ezek HaParnosa. The sovar who holds the rabbim, again, not for yechidim. Yechidim might be different, like Rav Shimon ben Yochai. But the rabbim, but for the masses, tfei orech, what is better for them, the meved hochi, that they should be combined, which is Shmuel's view, that they should in fact be combined to devoting some time to earning a parnosa. As it says in Ovois, yofa talmud teirim derech eretz. And it also says, "Kol Torah she'inim ima malacha, soifa b'teilet." That again, that's Rabbi Shmuel's view. V'chol mila de'aveis mila de'chasidus ninu, which means that this is a proper anhoga. In the time of Golus, in the time that, of course, when we are not living in the Dor HaMidbar, then it's important to do ishtavlus. And then Rabbi Shmuel's view is the proper view for the rabbim to be yotzek in parnosa. Except, there's only one except. What's the except? The except is, again, he repeats, that even when you're Isaac in Parnosa, Rabbi Shmuel insists that your mind still be connected to Torah as much as possible. Like Shagam Be'ez, Iskom Be'Parnosa, Ye'elibom Noyig Be'Chochma, he says, Be'hira Divre Torah, that the mind should still be connected. In the Dor HaMidbar Aboisai, when Torah was given, that's where the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show and give the ability to have total devotion to Torah. And that could only take place without Dagas Parnosa, so Yadmon. By the way, the Midbar had no security problems either. And by the way, he had no weather problems also. There's no such thing as too hot or too cold. You'd have to need air conditioning, the air conditioning brings down. All these things. Everything was perfect. Alles hat sich gespielt. Everything. To have the proper Menuchas HaNefesh. Lechem HaNashemayim. Simlosom loy bolsom aleim. Clothes never became tattered, worn out. Everything was right. The bear, the mon, the onon. Everything that a person needs to live a life of comfort, to be able to abode himself a Torah study. But subsequently, he said, Bimei Shloime, no longer, now you needed the Ishtavlis. Bimei Shloime, now you needed the Ishtavlis. However, even when you do the Ishtavlis, as he points out, a person should be involved, he said, with Eisek HaTorah. Lochein Hemidu. Now, listen to what he says. Now you have the Teretz of Reb Chaim, because we wanted to finish with this Teretz. Lochein Hemidu. Therefore, they positioned. That's why they positioned the Kruvim. Oz Betchilas HaKruvim. The question is, why did they position the Kruvim? Lekitchil, according to that man Omer, on an angle. You know why? Now listen to the stairs. Lefim Mash Yihu Oysim Retzoyne Shal Mokoyim Peneyem Mutsudodim Ma'at. In other words, Yidin, according to Rabbi Shmuel, let's remember, according to Rabbi Shmuel, for the Rabbim, we said, this is called Oysim Retzoyne Shal Mokoyim. But you agree, this is not the Tachlis of all the Tachlisim. The Tachlis, of course, of all the Tachlisim is if a Yochid is Shaykh to ride to the Madrega Reb Shimon Ben Yochoy. So Enoch Hanami, for the common people, it is called Oysim Retzoyne Shal Mokoyim, but the Kruvim put in an angle to show that is not the perfect Tachlis. That's why even when we do like Rabbi Shmuel, and then it is Oysim Retzoyne Shal Mokoyim, for us, but don't get the notion that that's utopia. That is exactly the highest level of Oysim Retzoyne Shal Mokoyim. No, it's not the highest level. The highest level is Reb Shimon Yochoy's way, except we're not able, we're not there. We're not capable of doing it. Yechidim. So Yechidim, at least for them it is. So therefore when the Kruvim are being placed, we didn't put them Penei Mishalochid to show that what we are doing, quote unquote, the right thing, it's still on an angle. It's oblique. It's put on an angle to show that this Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, although it's okay for us, but that's not the ultimate. That's not the ultimate. Because the Tachlis of all the Tachlisim is when someone reaches a Madrege, if he can, is Reb Shimon Yochoy. That's what he puts out. So again, Lochein, I'm repeating again. Lochein hemidu oz betchilo es akruvim. Therefore, according to that opinion, even from the start, it was put on an angle, as he says. Lefim asher yiyu oysim etzoyne shol mokoyim peneyim mutsudodim ma'at, in a slight angle. But by the way, but you know what? Even when they were on an angle, they were embracing each other. Because you are doing Hashem's will. For you, this is Hashem's will. So you have to realize you're doing Hashem's will, but it's not the ultimate. So it's also on an angle. So you have both messages. You have the positive message, and also to show there's more to strive for. The Kruvim were embracing each other even while they were on an angle. Because you are doing Retzoyne Shel Mokoyim. You're doing Retzoyne Shel Mokoyim. But for Yechidim, it's not. It's not the ultimate. So that was put on an angle to show there's still something more to strive for. It's not mamish ponim oponim. There's still a higher madrege, and you have to know there's still a higher madrege. For you, Taka, what you're doing is fine. The Kruvim are embracing themselves, but they're still at an angle. While they are on an angle, they're embracing themselves, each other. They're embracing each other to show that them is you are doing the right thing. But realize there is a higher madrege, and that's why the positioning was on an angle. Says Reb Chaim. The Imkolze, even though it was on an angle, Hoyim says, Kema'ar ish veloyo, it's a posik and malachim. They were all embraced firmly. Beponim shal chibo. Laharis chibosa yizbarach etzleinu. Shizeh ikar retzoyna yizbarach. Because, v'soyvek Rabbi Shmuel. Because it goes like the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Of course, the other opinion. Umando ma shagam bekruvi shloime hemidum tchilo. Lefima shi oizem misoyne shalmokim. Penei mishalochim mamish. Of course, the other opinion said they were not an angle. It was face to face. That umando ma gozak ibshimim ben yichoy. Rabshim yichoy lishitosa, he says, he holds that everybody should try to do that way. But we cannot do that way. The Gemara says no. Harbe, the Meskonis the Gemara is, Harbe tried it, but it's not for them. So that's why it was on an angle. To show the concept of the Yofet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. So I want to tell you something. Many, many years ago, when the Daf Yomi, I think about maybe 15 or possibly 20 years ago, was the Siyum at that time on Masechtas Yuma. And the Siyum was on Masechtas Yuma, and I was invited to speak in Washington Heights. Rav Shabbos Zatzal was alive at the time. He was also attended the Siyum in Kaladas Yeshurun. And the end of Masechtas Yuma talks about Yom Kippur is Mechaper Im HaTshuva, where you have two items, this Im, this with this. And there's a Rabbeinu Tam over there. There's a Rabbeinu Tam over there that says, wherever you have two items, this Im, this, this with this, the last one is the Iker, the first one is the Tofel. Which comes out according to Rabbeinu Tam, Yofet Talmud Torah Im Derech Eretz. Rabbeinu Tam says Derech Eretz is the Iker, Torah is the Tofel. And Tosfos asks Rabbeinu Ochran, says, how can you say such a thing?
About it, you have to do. You have to. You need their cheresis also. Their cheresis pashas means malacha. The hakin see their cheresis is the ikur. Yofa Talmud Torah im their cheresis is the ikur. Because when it says im, the last one is the ikur, the first one is the tofel. That's where Rabbeinu Tam learns. Yofa Talmud Torah im deracheres. Contrary to means that Talmud Torah is secondary. Im deracheres, Talmud Torah with deracheres. Is mash when deracheres is the main thing. Talmud Torah with it. We say something with, that's like a secondary thing. But the main thing is what? Is deracheres. So Tosfos asks, what does it mean? How can you say such a thing that deracheres is the ikur? And the Rav Shab at the time suggested the pshat is, Ben Tam doesn't mean deracheres is the ikur. The ikur means, what's the main thing you're doing now? Not that's the main thing in your life, but what is the main thing you're actually doing? Fact is, a person is working 8 hours a day. So in those 8 hours a day, what is he mainly occupied in? The main thing he's occupied in now is pranosa. Comes Chazal and say that Yofet Talmud Torah Deracheres, even when you're doing your pranosa, have Torah connected with it. Deracheres Iker doesn't mean in philosophy Deracheres is Iker. I'm not enough. Deracheres Iker means even when what you're doing, the Iker is Deracheres. Now you're not learning. You're working. So what's the Iker thing you're doing? Not the Iker Nashkofe. What's the Iker thing you're doing? What you're actually doing? The Iker thing you're doing now is Parnosa. But nevertheless, even when you're doing Parnosa, never be disconnected from Torah. Yofet Talmud Torah im Deracheres. And the interesting thing is, as a matter of fact, exactly what Takarot Nefesh HaChaim says, that even when you're doing Parnosa, you should also have your mind of Torah connected with it. Yechidos says it Lamaisa also, who is before Reb Chaim Volozhin, and he says it's a sefer called Chaz Dei Ovois. It's the Pirush on Ovois, Chaz Dei Ovois. Zoicher Chaz Dei Ovois, Ovois, Aperkei Ovois, he called it Chaz Dei Ovois, which is a play on Chaz Dei Ovois and Masechtas Ovois. So he says there, Yofet Talmud Torah im Deracheres, this is even when a Yid is Oisek in Parnosa, keep your thoughts of Torah. Think about a pshat. Think about something. Think about a dvar Torah. His mom is the words of Nefesh HaChaim. Exactly, actually, also what he said, which was the Chayodah. The Chayodah. Even though I was sitting in business, I was in the store. Just want to tell you and leave you with one thing. What the Levi Yitzchak Bardichev once said, he said, Yofet Talmud Torah im Deracheres, not on that much, but he was trying to point out, and he says, that the truth is because the Gemara said that one of the first things that a person is going to be asked when he comes up to Shemaim, he's going to be asked, is Nesosov and Asato Be'emunah. They're going to ask him is whether you did your business b'emunah, whether you did your business honestly. And the question is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the first thing they're going to ask you is ain't din shalodam zan Talmud Torah, whether you learned Torah or not. That's the first thing. Here the Gemara in Shabbos says the first thing they ask you whether you did business b'emunah, did business honestly. Kovati itam l'toyer seems to be a secondary thing. And the Kishas Levi said something very fascinating. Zetek Avruch, I want to tell you something. There is a Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov said, the truth is, he says, when a person learns Torah, so let's say he learns the Halachis, let's say he learns the Torah Masechta Bava Metzi, he learns Torah Dinim, he learns Hamachlit Pora B'chamor. He learns the Halachis about someone who exchanges a Pora B'chamor. It's a very difficult sugya. So there's a lot of Halachis to learn. What happens when a person actually does it? He has a cow, right? And Shimon has a chamor, and he's actually doing it, and he's doing it according to the Halachis of the Mishnah. That's also Torah. Torah doesn't mean you have to say the words of Torah. You're acting out the words of the Mishnah. Somebody learns theoretically, Hamach lepor b'chamor, this and this is the halacha. What happens when you're doing Hamach lepor b'chamor? But you're doing it according to the laws of the Mishnah. You're doing Torah. Doing Torah is you're learning Torah. Because to do it right, you have to think of the halacha. What is when you encounter in business, you have an opportunity to lie? And the reason you're not lying is because you remember, hey, there's a posseg midvar sheker tirchok. So you just learned the halacha midvar sheker tirchok. It's also learning Torah. In other words, while you're conducting your business and many shilas come up and you remember this posik says I have to do it this way, what is it when you're taking a loan and you say to yourself, hey, there's halacha of ribis, you have now learned a halacha in hilchus ribis. In every area when a person has opportunities to deviate, what if a Shabbos comes along and you have an assurance, should I close my store or not? You're closing your store because the Torah says to close it. You have now, by closing your store, you have learned the posik. Talmud Torah. You have learned the posik l'shas kol malacha. Because your mind is occupied with all of these halachas. You're doing these halachas. Doing the halacha is no worse than saying the halacha. Saying the halacha is okay, doing it is not okay. By the way, the whole purpose of saying it is to do it. That's the whole purpose of our learning. It's not theoretical. The purpose is to do it. So when you're actually living a life of Torah, you are learning these words of Torah. They are living Torah. So Nesosov and Nesato Bemino is Talmud Torah also. Because to do business Erlich, you are continuously learning Torah. You're learning Midvar Sheker Tirchok, you're learning the Halachas of Ribbis, you're learning the Halachas of Shabbos. All the various challenges that in your Lashon Hara that may come up, from the different customers, so many different things. So now you're into Shmiras Halashon. All of the things, the challenges that you have in order to do the things the right way, you are now learning these halachas of Torah. So the source of Nasatum Bimino involves actually Talmud Torah. Let me just conclude. Many years ago, there was a particular Sreifa in Europe, and the Ponovich Rav Zatzal was very, very, very successful Matliach in his droshes to raise money in order to be able to rebuild the town. The town was burned down. And he needed help because he needed more than one person being involved in raising money. So he calls Rebellion Mayor Bloch of Telz. He called Rebellion Mayor Bloch of Telz to come and help him. To Darshan here and to Darshan there. And Rebellion Mayor, as he gets the telegram, immediately he gets on the train and he travels however long it took, and he comes and he does whatever he has to do. It comes around Mincha time. Rebellion Mayor asks the Ponovich Rav, he says, is there a minion for Mincha? Because I have Yortzeit and I have to say Kaddish for my mother. And Rebbe Yemeir said, what about Shacharis? He says, I didn't say Kaddish for my mother. I got the telegram, I went on the train to be as soon as possible. And Rebbe Yemeir said, how did you find it within yourself to leave your mother's Kaddish? And Rebbe Yemeir says, and these are immortal words, and he said, Vuz Vilde Mama, what does my mother want? I should say Yizgadol Yizkadosh or do Yizgadol Yizkadosh? Saying it is an easy thing to say Yizgadol Yizkadosh Mei Rabo. You say it in shul, then you walk out the doors and you do everything which is the opposite of Yizgadol Yizkadosh. My mother doesn't need me to say it. My mother needs me to do it. What I did, I was involved. Hatolos Nefoshes, Hatolos Yisrael. That's doing Yizgadol Yizkadosh Mei Rabo. That is the Tachlis of Yid. And that's the whole purpose of learning. Acting it out is the ultimate Talmud Torah, Rabbi.